Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Education Report and the Making of a Nation, coming up after As It Is.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with the program that helps you learn American English and hear about important events in our world at the same time. We begin today with news from Turkey that may have a negative effect on financial investments. Then, some health news. American hospitals are giving away medical supplies to developing countries around the world. Let's get started. Here is part one. Turkish lawmakers are considering a bill that would affect property rights. It would permit police to seize property from people accused of plotting against the government. Katie Weaver tells us why investors in Turkey and around the world are worried about the proposed law.
The Homeland Security Reform Bill will give police new powers to search and arrest people. It would also limit the rights of people accused of a crime. It would reduce the information police must provide suspects and their lawyers about the legal process being used against them. And it would let the government seize the property from people found guilty of threatening Turkey's constitution or trying to overthrow the government. Atilla Yeşilada is a political expert in Turkey. He says Turkish and foreign investors are worried about the possible effects of the legislation. He says they are worried about the government having the power to seize property and money before an individual or company is found guilty.
The burden of proof is almost shifted from the prosecutor to the defendant simply because it takes just reasonable suspicion for the court to confiscate assets for maybe years.
Bülent Arınç is the Deputy Prime Minister of Turkey. He says the legislation is designed to give police more power in their fight to defend the country. Emma Sinclair Webb is a top researcher on Turkey for Human Rights Watch. She says she is worried about the possibility the government will abuse the power the legislation gives it by making charges that cannot be proven, just so it can seize property.
Now, of course, coup plotting is a very serious charge, but in Turkey, it's a rather widely used charge. We've seen it used against a group of football supporters for their participating in protests. So I think increasing the power to seize assets is part of the government wanting to arm itself to crack down more on opponents.
In 2009, a newspaper belonging to Turkey's largest media company reported on possible government corruption. The government soon required the company to pay billions of dollars in tax fines. And this year, investigators repeatedly targeted a bank after President Recep Tayyip Erdogan accused its owners of acting against the ruling AK party. The bank's owners said the accusation was not true. Some government officials say they also are worried about the legislation. Volkan Bozkır is Turkey's minister for European Union membership. He has warned that the measure could hurt the country's efforts to join the EU. He said he will work to make sure any new laws meet EU requirements. The country's attempt to join the EU has been temporarily stopped. experts say EU officials do not want the process to begin again because they believe Turkey is moving farther away from democracy. Atilla Yeşilada says even before the new legislation was written, investors were worried about the lack of progress on democratic reforms and the threat of the Islamic State on Turkey's border.
There are a lot of unconnected stories that are hitting the news wires, which are sort of touching the nerve endings of investors. They haven't reached a point where there is a coherent negative Turkey narrative as it coalesced in Putin's Russia years ago, or it has happened in Venezuela. But I think there is concern. They are watching. And if there are any applications of these recent laws to companies, then I'm afraid the investor sentiment may change very rapidly.
Some members of Turkey's government do not support the legislation, but Parliament is expected to approve the measure and President Erdogan to sign it into law this month. Observers note that government supporters won elections last month to the Supreme Board of Judges and Prosecutors. It controls the country's legal system. As a result, observers say, there will be few limits on how the government uses the powers the new law gives it. I'm Katie Weaver.
You are listening to VOA, the Voice of America. Every year, American hospitals and medical centers are left with thousands of kilograms of medical supplies that never get used. They are often thrown away, but not all of them. An aid group has been collecting these supplies for 25 years and sending them to hospitals and medical clinics in developing countries. The program is called SHARE, or Supporting Hospitals Abroad with Resources and Equipment. Christopher Cruz tells us more.
The medical supplies include towels, gloves, and trays. They have been removed from boxes in operating rooms, but never used. SHARE donates 5,000 kilograms of these reusable surgical supplies from American hospitals every year. The program is a project of student volunteers at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine in Baltimore, Maryland. They collect the supplies and prepare them for shipping to medical centers in 24 countries. The students say they are gathering only a small number of the unused materials. They report that 232 teaching hospitals in the United States could possibly give 900,000 kilograms of opened but unused surgical supplies every year. They say these objects have a value of more than $15 million. Eric Wan recently finished his studies at the Johns Hopkins Medical School. He says SHARE only collects materials that foreign surgical centers request. He says the program does not want to create more waste in other countries.
So that if they need it and they can use it and they know how to use it, then we can ship it to them. But if they can't use it or they don't have the capacity to use it, then we prefer not to send it to them because then it just sits there and become something that is just taking space and is not used.
SHARE works with aid groups already operating overseas. These charities include Operation Smile, the Neurospinal Research and Human Development Organization, and the Chiapas Project. These groups pay to transport and clean the supplies.
And sometimes they're used for emergency surgeries, and sometimes they're not used for emergency surgeries. So our goal is that in the end, we save and improve lives.
Information about SHARE was given to doctors who recently attended a meeting of the Clinical Congress of the American College of Surgeons in San Francisco. Eric Wan says SHARE hopes to increase the number of U.S. hospitals and medical centers that are giving their unused supplies to SHARE. I'm Christopher Cruz.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. This is VOA.
The Education Report is next, followed by The Making of a Nation. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
This is the VOA Learning English Education Report. 18 people in central Kenya are taking the country's secondary education test called the KCSE. Even under normal conditions, this examination can make a student nervous. But these 18 students may feel especially fearful. They are serving sentences in a top security prison. And if they do well on the test, they might get to leave the prison. During the test, the inmates sit at school desks at Naivasha Prison. These prisoners have writing tools and plastic devices used in mathematics. The classroom looks like any other, except that the students are wearing prison uniforms. David Noah Okwemba has just finished the examination for history and biology. He says he wants people to know that the prisoners are no longer criminals. Instead, he says, they are students. Prisoners who perform well can have their sentences amended. They may be released early to go to university or find employment. Patrick Mwenda is head officer at Naivasha Prison. He says Naivasha works with the high courts to consider the cases of prisoners who get high marks. Mr. Mwenda says 9 prisoners have been released since 2008 as a result of their schooling and tests. So far, the releases have gone only to prisoners sentenced to short terms. Only one other possibility for freedom exists for those facing life in prison and those who have used up all their legal appeals. Kenya's Power of Mercy Committee advises about pardons for prisoners. Officials set up the committee in 2011. Mr. Mwenda admits the difficulties of getting a pardon, but he says the prison urges students with longer sentences to build skills. He says doing this would help them have a good record to show the committee. Inmate Prince Windsor Mosi does not approve of the whole system.
The power of mercy is not actually helpful. It is there, but it is not helping in setting us at liberty, even if you have performed.
Prince Windsor Mosi took his KCSE exam last year, but he says he does not see much reason to get an education if he is to remain in prison.
So it is of no good to get or to acquire something of great value, skills, and not put it into action.
More than half of the 3,000 inmates at the Naivasha prison are involved in the school program. The inmates themselves choose the subjects and decide the content of the studies. And that's the VOA Learning English Education Report for today. I'm Jerry Watson. Thank you.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. By the summer of 1862, the American Civil War had been going on for more than a year. The Union had won some battles. The Confederacy had won others. But neither side was in a position to win the war. President Abraham Lincoln needed a major victory. He was losing the support of both politicians and the public. A major victory would not only help him that way, it would also make it easier for him to make an important announcement. For a number of months, he had been planning an announcement about the black people held as slaves in the South. It would come to be known as the Emancipation Proclamation. Today, Kay Gallant and Harry Monroe tell about Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation.
At the end of August 1862, Confederate troops, under the command of Robert E. Lee, defeated the main Union army at Manassas, Virginia. The battlefield was less than 50 kilometers from Washington. The year before, Confederate troops had sent the Union army fleeing from that same battlefield. Now they had done it again. With this latest victory, General Lee decided on a major move. He would carry the war into the northern states. Lee took his army of 60,000 men across the Potomac River into Maryland. He ordered some of his men to capture the Union position at Harper's Ferry. He moved the others to Sharpsburg, a town on the Potomac River. He put his men into position along Antietam Creek, just outside of town. His lines extended almost 3 kilometers. There, at Antietam, he would make his stand. He was still close enough to Virginia to withdraw if the Union force following him proved too strong.
The Union force arrived in the middle of September. It did not attack immediately. It spent one full day getting into position along Antietam Creek, across from the Confederate Army. It attacked the following day at sunrise. The Union General George McClellan planned to attack all along the Confederate line at the same time. But this did not happen. First, Union troops attacked one end of the line, which extended into a field full of tall corn plants. Then they attacked the center of the line, which was in an old, deeply sunken road that gave it good protection. Finally, they attacked at the other end of the line. For each northern attack, General Lee was able to move men to where they were needed. The northern troops got within 25 meters of the Confederate line, but they could not break through anywhere.
On the first day of battle at Antietam, Lee lost 25% of his men. On the second day, the two armies faced each other without firing. They were too tired to fight. As they rested, however, fresh Union soldiers moved into position. Lee knew they would attack with full force the next day. He knew he could not win. Sadly, he ordered his men back to Virginia. It was now clear Antietam was a northern victory. It was not a complete victory. the Union Army could have chased the Confederate Army and destroyed it. But General McClellan did not do this. He was satisfied that he had stopped the invasion.
In Washington, President Lincoln welcomed the news. He had waited a long time for a Northern victory. A few days after the battle, Lincoln held a special meeting with his cabinet. He talked about the Declaration on Slavery, which he had prepared. It would free Negro slaves in the rebel states of the South. "As you remember," he said, "I put the Declaration aside several weeks ago until I could issue it supported by a military victory. The action of the army against the rebels has not been exactly what I should have liked, but the rebels have been driven out of Maryland, and Pennsylvania is no longer in danger of invasion." President Lincoln said he thought the time was right to announce the Emancipation Proclamation. The cabinet made some minor changes in the document, and Lincoln signed it.
Newspapers printed the proclamation. This is what it said.
"I, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States and Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, do hereby declare that on the first day of January, 1863, all persons held as slaves within any state then in rebellion against the United States shall then become and be forever free. The government of the United States, including the military and naval forces, will recognize and protect the freedom of such persons, and will interfere in no way with any efforts they may make for their actual freedom."
President Lincoln had tried to keep the question of slavery out of the Civil War. To him, there was just one reason for fighting: to save the Union. Nothing meant more to him than preventing the nation from splitting up. Lincoln feared that the issue of slavery would weaken the Northern war effort. Many men throughout the North would fight to save the Union. They would not fight to free the slaves. Lincoln also needed the support of the four slave states that did not leave the Union: Delaware, Kentucky, Maryland, and Missouri. He could not be sure of their support if he declared that the purpose of the war was to free the slaves. As Lincoln waited for a Union victory to announce his Emancipation Proclamation, he wrote a letter to the New York Tribune newspaper. The letter was to prepare the public for what was to come. This is what Lincoln said.
"My chief object in this struggle is to save the Union. It is not either to save or destroy slavery. If I could save the Union without freeing any slave, I would do it. And if I could save it by freeing all the slaves, I would do it. And if I could save it by freeing some and leaving others alone, I would also do that. What I do about slavery and the colored race, I do because I believe it helps to save the Union. This is how I see my official duty. It does not change my wish as a person that all men everywhere could be free."
President Lincoln failed to keep the question of slavery out of the Civil War. As the war went on, month after long month, people in the North began to see it as more than a struggle for national unity. They began to see it as a struggle for human freedom. Abolitionists were active. In speeches and writings, they said over and over again that slavery was evil. As public opinion began to change, anti-slavery members of Congress gained more power. By the summer of 1862, they had enough support to pass laws ending slavery in Washington, D.C., and United States territories. They also pushed through Congress a bill that would do much to end slavery in the states.
The bill was called the Confiscation Act. It gave the federal government the power to confiscate or seize the property of all persons who supported the Southern Rebellion. Slaves were considered property. So any slaves seized under the Act would become free immediately. Slaves who escaped from rebel slave owners also would be free. The bill would not affect slaves owned by persons who supported the Union. President Lincoln did not like the Confiscation Act. He thought it interfered with his wartime powers as commander-in-chief.
However, Lincoln was under great pressure from abolitionists, so he signed the new law. But he did not plan to enforce it. He still hoped for a plan that would free the slaves slowly, over time. He proposed such a plan, but only for the border states between North and South. Under his plan, the federal government would buy slaves in the border states and free them. Lawmakers from the border states rejected Lincoln's plan, and that is when he decided to issue the Emancipation Proclamation. We will tell about the effects of that decision next week.
Our program was written by Frank Beardsley. The narrators were Kay Gallant and Harry Monroe. The Making of a Nation is a radio series written with English learners in mind. Each weekly program is 15 minutes long. The series began in May of 1969. People who grew up listening to it are now old enough to listen with their own children or even their grandchildren. These days, with the Internet, people can download the transcripts and MP3s of our series at voaspecialenglish.com. They can also follow us on Twitter at VOA Learning English. There are more than 200 programs in the complete series, which starts over again every 5 years. New programs with recent history are added at the end of each cycle. Most of the shows were produced a long time ago. This explains why a few words here and there may sound a little dated. In fact, some of the announcers are not even alive anymore. But we know from our audience that The Making of a Nation is the most popular of the feature programs in VOA Special English. Join us again next week for The Making of a Nation, an American history series in VOA Special English.